Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Emancipated Human Podcast. This is number two today. My name is Luis Fernando Mises, your host. Last week was number one and we talked about Bitcoin. It was about the Bitcoin so-called bubble. And we talked about how that was just a bunch of BS and how we need to hold on to our Bitcoin. We have a link down below if you want to listen to that one as well. If you want to listen to it again so you have some ammunition or just some reassurance that everything will be fine. Today, we're going to talk about President Trump pulling out of the Paris Agreement. The whole climate change situation is extremely controversial. And I must admit, I'm not a scientist, but I do a good deal of research. And I'm going to see if we can talk a little bit about this. I need to say right off the bat, I personally dislike President Trump. I cannot believe that he's our president. Actually, I was in Philadelphia the night of the election. I was teaching a seminar to one of our clients over there. And it's kind of funny because it's such a historic land, you know. And I woke up, you know, 4:30 a.m., to take shower and you know, do everything I needed to do to get ready to go teach a seminar. Whenever I just grabbed my phone and I saw that he had won, I could not believe my eyes. With that said, you know, I'm very critical of a lot of the things he does. But this time, I actually have to say that I'm very pleased for what he did. He pulled out of the Paris Agreement. Now, what is the Paris Agreement? What the hell is it? Does everybody know? Does anybody know? It has three main purposes. The aim is threefold. And I'm just going to quickly talk about it. Well, number one is to increase the global, to holding the increase of the global average temperature to well below 2 Celsius, below 2 Celsius pre-industrial levels so that's kind of interesting. Then recognizing that this would significantly reduce the risks and impacts of climate change. All right, so we're going to talk about that in a second. So number two is to increase the ability to adapt to the adverse impacts of climate change and to foster climate resilience and low greenhouse emissions and to develop without threatening food production. That's important too. Number three, and which I think is for them what's most important, is to make the financial flows consistent with a pathway towards low greenhouse gas emissions and climate resilient development. Now, number three, you may wonder, well, you know, who's giving this money and to whom? There is a $100 billion check that's going to go every single year to developing countries. This is crazy. So, talking a little bit about this. So, I think that not debating the merit of scientific findings is a real disservice to the public. There's a lot of people that say, I'm not going to debate you on this because, you know, it's just feeding the trolls. Well, I disagree. If you know, that's the whole idea about science, right? You're supposed to challenge it. So, a lot of scientists speak in favor of global warming. They all say that they agree about it, but there's also very many that don't speak, and that's mostly out of fear for losing their funding. Yeah, you heard that right, because a lot of these funds come from the state. They're afraid of talking about it because you know, they don't want to lose their livelihood, which I think that in itself is kind of messed up. Because it keeps them, I guess, a whore of the state, if you will. Now, we're going to talk about global warming. Is there such a thing? Yes, absolutely. I mean, everybody has noticed it. You know, even June bugs are popping out in April and May. And, you know, all that kind of stuff is happening. Do humans do it? That part is not settled. That part is not settled yet. And like I was telling you, those people that speak for it, they're doing so, you know, they get money from the state. Now, I think it's important to also mention something that John Mackey talks about a lot of times. Any time that there is an anti-business rhetoric, the state will run with it. So if they're going to say that, yeah, this is happening because of business, there's going to be like a huge avalanche of efforts being made towards creating legislations to continue this red tape nonsense. I think that it's important to talk about how, for instance, Al Gore and the 10-year lie. I remember I purchased that movie and I watched it, and I went to bed pretty scared because all the doomsday scenarios that he talked about. At this point, there are even more polar bears than when he made the movie, and actually, all of that stuff. I mean, no, nothing is underwater like he said that that would happen. And there are no more hurricanes happening. So I mean, there's a lot of stretching of the truth that's taking place. One thing that I have seen that may be possibility for this earthworming condition is geomagnetic reversal. Actually, some of pilots have had to reset their compasses plus minus 10 degrees because because of that shift, and that's pretty impressive. Also, the fact that the Earth has cooling and warming periods, and that just happens naturally. Now you have to say, well, one of the points, what's wrong with climate change? What's wrong with more warmth and more CO2 gases? Well, I think that's actually not necessarily a bad thing. You can have more of growing crops year round. That's a fantastic thing. And if they're talking about not hurting the food, what was number two? Food production, threatening food production. You're not going to threaten food production by doing this. Now, another thing is you're going to have more trees because trees do excellently on CO2. That those are some of the things that could happen. Now, one of the NASA people said that, well, the real problem is that people are not planning, like living on the coast, water may rise and whatever. I think that's a very weak argument, if that's all that he has to say. I saw that happening on Stossel earlier today. One of the real solutions, I think, to the whole coal mining and all of that fossil fuel situation is nuclear plants. Actually, I have had clients in this consulting gig that I'm in that have been nuclear power plants, and they are the cheapest and cleanest forms of fuel that we could have, and they're reliable, unlike wind and solar. I used to be all about wind and solar, but can you imagine somebody doing surgery in a hospital and everything's running with wind? Like, it works great when there's wind, but when there's not, you're kind of screwed. So a lot of people will talk about, well, Fukushima and all of that, but that's for another podcast. I actually interviewed an individual that's that had top secret clearance in the state that did an interview with me about nuclear plants in Fukushima, and that was very interesting. And he talked about how all of that is actually bullshit. The real issue, in my opinion, is pollution. Pollution is the real problem. And it's funny because the state is always the biggest polluter in anywhere you go. And one of the issues, aside from them being the biggest polluters, is that legislation allows for disposal of pollution in public lands. So a lot of the pollution problem could be solved through private property. Pollution is also something that happens more often than not in developing countries and developing neighborhoods. Some poor neighborhoods, you see more trash around. The idea about the developing countries, if we continue to create more regulations, if we keep putting more red tape on trade, then poor people are going to hurt more. People in developing countries are going to lose their ability to climb out of poverty. If we continue the way we have been so far today, we're going to do away with abject poverty within the next 15 years. That means that my grandchildren will only know about abject poverty in Wikipedia or any form of that might take in, whatever 20, 30, 40 years. That's pretty interesting to me. I love hearing that. So if we just bring a bunch of regulations to the table and prevent these people from growing and expanding, they're never gonna get out of that. And again, we go back to the whole anti-business rhetoric. It's easy for us to also claim the higher moral ground sitting in a first world country. We have to remember our history, where we came from, and that in the infancy of this country, we had rough times and we were able to create a lot of a cleaner planet thanks to the technological advancements. And soon enough in the future, there is not going to be any kind of pollution because everything's going to be constructed at the nano level. So there's going to be no waste whatsoever. That's actually pretty exciting. And there's a lot of inventions happening, taking place that are basically harnessing and using for instance, the heat from electricity or using rubbish for other forms of fuel. So it's going to continue to become more organic, this cycle. And if we continue to create legislations, this is not going to be able to happen. So that's all I have to do. So I have to say today. I hope you like this. If you have any questions, any comments, let us know. If you like this, please share it. This is our new project that we're having with Emancipated Human, or our podcast. I will also continue to do this every week. Let us know what you liked, and I hope to see you also next week. Have a great day. This is Luis Fernando Mises.